You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
I am your C3. I am your man.
This guy continues and continues to amaze me.
I'm the greatest wrestler in the world.
I'm pretty sure Ishii is held together by cement.
I wasn't supposed to win championships and get to the top of every company I've ever walked into, but I have.
This has to be one of the greatest matches I've ever watched in my life.
Because the Bullet Club, we rule the world.
Is a controversial victory.
Controversial?
Here.
What's controversial about it? The fact that Cesaro's shoulders were pinned 1, 2, 3 and I got the win? Is that controversial? No, it's not. What? You don't believe me? Go look it back. Do a replay. Go to WWE Network and replay it over and over and over again. It shows Cesaro's shoulders pinned 1, 2, 3. Who's the winner, babe? Who's the winner, babe?
The Miz.
I'm the winner.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your host, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling the Max episode 193, part 1. We are the Every Wrestling Fan Podcast. We're brought to you by the W2M Network. And in partnership with 411mania.com and Last Word on sports.com. Gary, take it away.
All right, guys, tonight we are talking Monday Night Raw. Like always, we have a lot of things going on in that show that were kind of fallout from Payback last night. So you're going to get a little bit of news, you're going to get a little bit of recap, and you're also going to get a lot of reactions. So a lot of great stuff. We're looking forward to it. And there's a certain death on this show that you're not going to want to miss, and trust me, it'll be depressing. But we'll get into that and all on tonight's episode. Plus, we're going to get into some quick hits. We have quite a few. We're going to kind of give you an update on Enzo Amore. Plus, we're going to get into Charlotte and Natalya and some of the achievements they've made, and of course, what's going to be happening in their future, and of course, maybe a couple other things. So
and we got Ryback having some contract issues.
Yeah. So that's some of the stuff we're going to get into for sure. And we're also going to get into a little bit of a special topic. And Sean actually ran across an article that kind of spelled out why casual fans and ratings don't matter. So we'll get into that, have a little discussion, give you our thoughts on the article, and plus some of our own opinions. But besides that, guys, you know, we've got a full show here. Looking forward to it. But, man, you know, Paul had a busy weekend. We had Payback last night that we kind of covered. But, man, anything else going on?
No, not really. Monday's my bowling night, which I bowled particularly well, if anybody cares. So there's that, and that's all I did today.
Hey, that's what matters, man, is that you achieved your goals, and that was to bowl a great game. So, and more than one game, actually, since you're part of a bowling league. But that's great, man. You know, it's always nice to have a good night bowling. I'm not particularly a good bowler. I remember my bachelor party was probably the worst bowling night of my life, but that's what happens. Sean, man, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, took the kid to the eye doctor today, and she has the lazy eye, so at some point she will have to have surgery to repair her eye, because apparently when she has to go all the way to the right or all the way to the left, they go into a corner, and it's bad for her at some point. So, you know, hopefully it's nowhere soon, but they did tell me that she's going to have to wear glasses, that it's not because she can't see, it's because of lazy eye, till about she's 12 or 13, so I kind of feel bad for her. I had to wear glasses since I was really young, too. But, you know, you never want that for them. You know, she has really pretty eyes, and they have to be behind glasses, of course. And I want to reiterate again that if you did not listen to us yesterday and are wondering, hey, where's the payback thoughts? So we did a whole entire hour and 30 minutes on payback last night. You can go find that there in our feed, or if it's the first time you listen to us, if you subscribe, or it's right there. It has a picture with payback and everything. Not hard to find.
Definitely not, and you get to hear me screw up plenty of times, you know, saying everything backwards. I think I was in a phase. My daughter is in love right now with Alice in Wonderland, and so I think I'm talking backwards, guys. I think I've learned how to do it now.
Nice saves.
So anyway, guys, well, you know, me personally, just, you know, being, you know, busy with a lot of other things, family stuff, and just kind of, you know, trying to get everything in order. I've been really working on this NFL draft stuff with Sean because we also have another podcast we do on the network called Football to the Max. If you've never heard of it, go check it out. It's a great show as well. We were working on some of these grades for the draft, and I've been doing a lot of, you know, homework on that and doing stuff like that. So in between, you know, doing other stuff with family and all that, I've been working on that. So I've been busy weekend, actually. It's been kind of crazy. Had a, you know, a lot of things going on, so. Well, guys, let's get this thing going. Let's talk some Monday Night Raw. We'll be right back with that next.
WWE Monday Night Raw.
Raw was live from the hometown of Mr. Randy Orton, St. Louis, Missouri. And there was a person that was at Raw Live, and we'll probably hear from him in a little bit here. I kind of want to just get through some of Raw here before we have him call. But, I mean, the show started with Shane, as we expected, because of the big decision that was made at Payback the previous night. Shane and Stephanie basically came out to address the evening and tell you what was going to happen. And Shane was about to talk, but Kevin Owens comes out to interrupt him again. I guess this is the normal thing now. Kevin Owens is just going to troll Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon for that matter, I guess, until, you know, that this is no longer the case, which kind of works. It's almost like I thought Kevin Owens was supposed to be a heel, but you're sort of a, you're not really making him one by doing this. I don't know. But anyway, it transitioned quickly to the wrestlers who basically came out and all made a claim for IC title, IC title, IC title. And then we get another Kevin Owens and Cesaro match, which honestly I can't ever complain about these guys wrestling because they're always great with each other. But of course this led to a DQ at the end. With Miz getting involved and Miz and Owens going at it. And basically, we know what we're building to. We talked about it last night on the Payback show, Fatal 4-Way. But what did you guys think of this opening segment and, you know, and this thing with Owens and Cesaro here?
I'll start out with talking about Shane and Stephanie. I actually, you know, kind of thought this was pretty well done. You know, you get Stephanie coming out and basically acting all nice and sweet, kind of like what you had at the end of the pay-per-view, you know, kind of agreeing to everything Shane said, you know, really just playing the sheepish part. And I thought that was kind of fun to kind of see her, you know, play that role, because we really don't see her play that very often, really. She's usually the fierce and mean and angry. So it's kind of neat. Plus, she had a gift for Shane. I like that gift. It really, actually, it's kind of funny, but they really did a good job with this, because they had a, you know, that picture that Vince McMahon stomped on of him and Shane. Yeah, she had it reframed and had a new picture, and it was all perfect, and that actually kind of made sense. I was kind of afraid it was a gag gift or something like that, or something silly, but this actually made you feel like, hey, you know, there is some reconciliation, even though you kind of know undertones that there's not any reconciliation. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that segment with them. That worked out. And then, of course, Kevin Owens coming out and doing his spiel, I think was fine. Getting into the Fatal 4-Way that we're going to eventually see, I think it all worked out okay. I didn't have a problem with it. It made sense. You know, Zayn coming out, everybody getting involved. it works to progress that story. So I really didn't have any problems with it.
Yeah, this sounds like everything is moving in a nice, brisk direction towards Extreme Rules. It's pretty obvious now. If you weren't sure last night, you're sure after tonight that it's going to be a four-way for the Intercontinental title, and it's going to be one that you're going to want to keep your eye on because Miz and Maurice are going to bring the heel shtick, and Cesaro and Owens and Zayn, they're going to bring the wrestling, and God love you, it's going to be insane. Go ahead.
I think it's funny too, Paul, is the fact that, you know, we were talking about this last night when we were talking Payback, and I know Patrick Ketza hates The Miz, but me and Sean both, and I'm sure you sent to at some sentiment, Paul, kind of like The Miz to a point because he is not just terrible in the ring. He's actually a good athlete, you know, even though you may not like him for other reasons. So besides that, I mean, this is all rounding up to a great Fatal 4-Way, and I'm glad these four are involved in it. I really don't have a problem with anybody being a part of it for the IC title. So, you know, it's nice that we're getting it early and we're getting this feud for the next 3 weeks, I believe, until we Extreme Rules.
Yeah, something like that. And I think what's important here with the Intercontinental title stuff is that all these guys want it. Cesaro wants to be champion. Kevin Owens wants to be champion. You have Zayn sort of looking like he wants to be champion whenever he plays the crowd with the belt. So you have all that building there too, which is nice for the championship. And then The Miz, obviously, he wants to keep it. So, you know, it's a very well done feud so far. And that's something I don't think I've said about a WWE feud in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, Sean, I mean, looking at this, I mean, I think The Miz is the right guy to have the belt right now. And maybe even, you know, if it's just short-lived, I think he's the right guy to hold it till then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Miz, again, sort of like the Charlotte thing, the heel holding it and being kind of snarky and having Miz there works for now. We'll have to see who they decide to give it to at Extreme Rules. It would seem that it makes sense for a title change to happen there. Like Paul said on the Payback show, it really kind of works a lot more to further the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing. If you have, say, Sami Zayn win it and have Owens act like a freaking crazy person trying to get it back from Sami Zayn almost. I know that logic would dictate that you want Sami chasing, but trust me, you want crazy Kevin Owens. It's much more entertaining that way. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's just me. Maybe other people feel you need to go more traditional route, but you know, I've always thought that when he acts like he's the victim and all that, makes it much more interesting.
I agree. And I really hope that's what happens here. Your thought theory on this is what I want to see.
All right, so now that we've gotten through this, I don't know what to make of this whole deal here with this thing with Truth and Goldust. Apparently has reached a new level, guys. We have even involved Tyler Breeze. So, you know, Tyler Breeze's career is not that dead yet, I guess. So, you know, Truth has a fake selfie stick with a leaf and some tape and a fake cell phone on it. And then Tyler Breeze, of course, has his. And, you know, he's confused at first about, you know, how to deal with Tyler Breeze if they don't mesh well. He's saying, oh, it was better with Goldust. And Goldust comes in and it's like, ah. You know, whenever I still got my partner Fandango and he lets everybody know he can do the stinky leg. Apparently that's the only move Goldust knows how to do anymore. And then we get this match with Goldust against Tyler Breeze. And, guys, I can't believe we're almost going to a jealousy storyline between Truth and Goldust here.
I think the word you're looking for is magical.
Okay. I hope that's sarcasm.
Not this distraction roll-up. I could do without that. But, other than that, yeah, we can go with magical.
Yeah, I love this storyline's the right word, storyline, because of the fact that, you know, I knew comedy would ensue. But the jealousy thing, that's borderline silly for me, and I mean really silly because I like silly things, but this is getting a little too silly.
You know what? I mean, at least we're getting with the times, right? It's okay for a man to be jealous of another man.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool and all. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know. It's like the two people that really don't fit in this equation the most, which would be Fandango and, of course, Tyler Breeze. You know, it's all comedy, I guess. I shouldn't overthink it. I just, to me, I was like sitting there thinking, man, I used to love these two guys interacting. Now I'm just kind of like, I don't care.
The thing I think I enjoy most about this is that if it works out, then you have Goldust and Truth come together as a team eventually, and that'll be all fine and dandy because they'll find a way to make that work. But what if Fandango and Tyler Breeze come together and make a team, and these two guys finally get a place and a direction that they can sort of be seen in a somewhat legitimate fashion? Because both guys, I think, can work well, and I think they can work well together. Their gimmicks are sort of similar. You change them up here or there maybe, and you see what they have as a tag team, and you add them to a division that still could use some extra teams to help, you know, pad it out. So
yeah,
I think you're on a win-win.
I mean, we haven't seen Social Outcasts in a while. You can always use those jobber teams.
Right.
So, I mean, who knows? I mean, Fandango and Tyler Breeze could wind up being wonderful together and your next tag team champions for all we know. Right?
What would that tag team name be, though? That's my thought. I mean, what would you name it? I mean, the Dancing Pretty Boys?
That's actually not that bad, really.
Dancing in the Breeze.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome, Paul. Well, I'm sold on that one.
I got a talent, guys.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know why you're not working for the E, man. You need to
the
be...
Gorgeous Dancers? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, or just the Gorgeous Ones. That could work, too. So, well, thank you, Glenn, for letting us know that Superstars further does not matter. But apparently the Outcasts were involved on Superstars.
Oh, okay.
That is your one of quite a few quirky things to happen on this edition of Raw, really. So moving on, we have the setup for the tag tournament, which the Vaudevillains are announced as the team that's facing New Day after what you would presume what normally happens when you have an injury is the other team basically forfeits. So Vaudevillains are considered the number one contenders. But, the New Day come out and they talk about the injury from last night or whatever. And the Vaudevillains, being the heels that they are totally awesome here. They basically make fun of the promo with Enzo and Cass, and what is it that he says? Enzo was the hottest guy in the emergency room or something like that, and Simon Gotch is like, Enzo, how are you doing? It's the killer heat that he got for just making fun of Enzo's deal was good. But you know who was even better? Big Cass, just running down even the Dudleys who came out and everything. Just Big Cass once again proving that when he is left alone in a pinch, he can pull it out for you. And I'll say it again, I kind of got a little bit bored with this match. Then when Big Cass got the hot tag, he got me into it again. I thought it kind of went dragged a little bit. It was good. Just, I don't know. You know, the New Day, after they can kind of get into their little lull sometimes. But like when Big Cass came in, it kind of all started going together into the finish. Like, I love the big boot that Cass did where he knocked, I think it was it Bully Ray or one of the Vaudevillains down. And he knocked him into a belly-to-belly by Big E. That was pretty cool. And then Big Cass just got to have the big close and win. So, again, I mean, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but you know, we saw this in NXT, and I thought he did well for himself in NXT when he's by himself. Maybe we can see that a little bit here for a couple of weeks and see what happens. Even though I've also seen a lot of people compare Big Cass, test number two. And perhaps Maybe it's certainly Tess with more personality, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a bad thing. I mean, Tess was a good athlete.
Yeah, he was. He was a really good athlete. And, you know, I think that Big Cass has a lot to offer here. I think because of the fact that, I mean, not only did he come down here and do a great job in the ring, but on the mic, I mean, I'll be honest with you, you know, he's usually not the guy that's the one holding it. It's, of course, Enzo Amore, but to me, he did just fine. It was very believable. I didn't waver at all in his speech. I really kind of felt like he was being sincere. So I was thrilled with that. I thought Kaz did a great job all the way around in this. And, of course, you know, the other guys are the other guys. New Day and, of course, the Dudleys, they all do the thing. The Vaudevillains did their thing. Overall, like Sean said, it was very vanilla. The match was nothing super spectacular. It was just another match you've seen before. But it was kind of funny. It was like, you know, that vanilla ice cream, and then someone says, hey, you know, why don't you add some sprinkles? And it ended up being a lot better. So I'm thrilled at the ending here. I'm glad that, you know, Big Cass was the guy that got the pin. So overall, I mean, good stuff. And, you know, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with Cass until Enzo does return.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the question. All you have to do, I think, with Big Cass, really, is keep him relevant and keep him floating around the picture. Maybe you have him keep going one-on-one with different tag team people around and showing what he can do. Or you just keep him floating around the New Day and be like, hey, guys, you know, we technically didn't lose. So, you know, and see what you can get from all that. I just, you know, this doesn't sound overly entertaining, but I think that, I mean, focus on the tag division and the New Day get a promo. That's really all you need.
Yeah. And I keep saying, I mean, Vaudevillains are doing really good as heels on the main roster, I think. Even the Dudleys were pretty decent here, too. So it got everybody back involved, and it makes the tag team division feel important. Emma and Becky Lynch have a match that wasn't good. The only thing I'll take out of it is that the crowd really gets behind Becky Lynch. So, you know, again, I feel like she has done the best in adapting to the WWE style and has really kind of made something of herself. I mean, I know Sauce has been gone for a while, but, it, you know, I made the point yesterday that both her and Charlotte have had difficulties at times adapting, especially in-ring. And I think Becky's kind of been the one that's sort of come out the best in all this. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but hey, at least Cole named the Michinoku driver correctly this time. It took him one night, but he figured it out.
Personal growth.
So, and just a rumor killer that apparently there was this report coming around earlier in the day that Sasha was not happy about not being on TV. That is not true. So just killing that rumor, by the way. Hey, did you know that you can eat stuff in Puerto Rico? Because I didn't know that they had food there. So we apparently found out that they have great food in Puerto Rico that you can eat.
Who says you shouldn't watch Raw? I mean, it's so educational. I mean, I learned so much about Puerto Rico. I mean, they actually have places that you can go dance at. They have great, you know, beverages, and now you can eat there. This is amazing. I never knew this. I want to return to this place. When I showed up, it had nothing. It was just a wasteland. Now they have all this awesome stuff. Wow.
You know, hashtag W2M in Puerto Rico. That needs to be a thing.
Yes. Let's do it, people.
Yes. So the Kickstarter will be started pretty soon.
We'll have the GoFundMe ready, you know.
Yeah.
So earlier in the night, we have Ambrose basically talk to Stephanie, and Stephanie's, you know, Ambrose was telling Stephanie he doesn't believe that Stephanie's changed, you know, because Stephanie's kind of going along with Shane. They're acting all sort of compliant with each other. And so Stephanie is saying, oh, look, what about your show, The Ambrose Asylum? Let's have an AMA. You can ask me anything, Ambrose, on this asylum. Gary, you might have watched more of this than I did. This is a part where I kind of had to go do a few other things. I do remember coming back, and Jericho and Ambrose were brawling after Ambrose had apparently made Stephanie mad, and she canceled his show. And then that asshole Jericho decided that he wanted to kill Ambrose's plotted plant, Mitch. And that's when it all went way too far. I was incensed at watching this. Jericho's such an asshole, that man. I mean, what did you think, Gary? Did you think this accomplished anything here for Ambrose?
You know, I mean, accomplishing continuing the feud, that's about it. Nothing else. I mean,
this is still over a talk show, Gary?
Yeah, still over a talk show. So
damn it.
No new wrinkles. Yeah, I'm sorry. No new wrinkles at all. I mean, the only other wrinkle you're going to get is the fact that now he's kind of dragging Stephanie into the mix. And, you know, I think that's pretty much done now that Jericho took the actions he did. But really, I mean, the whole thing is just him having an interrogation and just kind of drilling Stephanie about the fact that why isn't she angry? Why is she acting like the way she is? We all know she's not a good person. Why is she pretending? All those type of things, and he kind of points out about Roman Reigns spearing her, and, you know, how did that make her feel, you know, and all sorts of things. So this all just boils down to her just getting angry and just saying, oh, you know what, there is change in this company, and the next change is the fact that the Ambrose Asylum is canceled. Then she, you know, of course, brings out Jericho and says the highlight reel's back. So anybody who's disappointed about the highlight reel being canceled, it's back on, baby. But besides that, I mean, really – breaks down to this whole brawl with Ambrose and Jericho and Mitch's sad death. But it is what it is. Nothing just giant, nothing huge. I mean, you just walk away with, you know, this feud is going to continue.
Yeah. All I can say is a moment of silence for Mitch here, guys. Thank you.
Yes. Mm. Tears. Oh.
RIP, Mitch. You will be missed.
Oh, poor Mitch. Well, so after this, we have a impromptu U.S. title. Glenn says that we will easily surpass Virgil in terms of raising money on GoFundMe.
Yeah. Well, I'll take his route. I'll eat at Olive Garden with you too, people. So just letting you know, you want to...
Okay, yeah, whatever. Gary's all about doing the free soup and salad. Yeah. And breadsticks.
I'll just take the breadsticks. I'll be happy with that.
So, we have this U.S. title number one contenders battle royal, guys. And I don't know why Ryback was in the graphic, even though he wasn't there. Stupid WWE apparently did not realize that Ryback was not there, but he's still in the graphic. So, basically, Rusev wins the Battle Royal. Kalisto's on commentary here. I love how they make him seem like he's from Mexico, but he clearly talks fine English. You know, but either way, Rusev wins, and that's kind of what we wanted, right? We wanted Rusev to be the guy that sort of gets a push out of this League of Nations deal, and that did happen. So I'm all for that. Rusev is the guy with the most potential here, certainly.
Yeah, you know what? And this is pretty much your general Rumble. Nothing, you know, just amazing in it. I mean, it was good for what it was. I mean, but saying all that, I do like the fact that the last two being in the ring is, of course, Rusev, who won, and then you got Zack Ryder on the other side, who, you know, at WrestleMania won the IC title ladder match. That was great. So now you're thinking, man, he's going to get another shot at another title if he can just beat Rusev. So I like that. It adds a lot of intrigue. It also gives people an underdog to root for. I think it's good. I think this is a good formula all the way around. So I had no problems with it. I think it was something that the fans can jump into and really just kind of get involved with. And the other thing is I got to say this. I like the role that they've got Ryder in now. He doesn't have to win. He doesn't exactly have to be, you know, the guy that, you know, is exciting and just doing all flips and doing all these other crazy things. He just has to be the lovable jobber. And I like it. You know, I've heard guys talk about the past way back in the day, you know, the Garden and all these other places in the 70s, even the 80s, that they had these jobbers that people loved. And it's because, you know, they were the underdog. Well, now we got another one that you can really get behind, and he's not just another face. I like that. Zack Ryder, you're doing a good job.
Yeah. Hats off. First of all, great choice. I think these two are really going to be able to work an interesting match, if not a decent feud, out of something here. Because you got to do something with Kalisto at this point, and if you're going to make him at all interesting, in my opinion. I think Rusev's a good person to do that with, because obviously Rusev is, it's pretty easy for him and Lana, I think, to get heat still. They don't have as bad a stink from the League of Nations, I feel, as Sheamus does, for example. So there's all that working in their favor, and, you know, let him go. Let him go full tilt and see what you can get.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you hope so. Hopefully we get more of the Ryback and Kalisto from what we saw at Payback, where these guys really care and they go out there for it. And we know Rusev can do even more than that, so that should be a good thing here. Well, we do get Charlotte discussing what happened with Natalya at Payback. And I want to say this before this. I don't know who it is. Somebody finally figured out how it is you can use the WWE Network old footage to progress the storyline, guys. They figured it out because they showed WCW Slammeree footage of Little Natch, Charles Robinson, trying to be Ric Flair before they did the segment. I mean, you know, we could have done this ages ago, like started actually using old footage to try to promote things. I mean, I'm glad that they finally figured out, watch this, they'll never do this again. But good usage.
It makes too much sense for them to keep doing that kind of thing, Sean.
It was so like perfect. I was like, oh, wait, somebody actually pulled footage to show that Ric Flair and Charles Robinson had a relationship at one point. Not that kind of relationship, but, you know.
I never know.
But it was cool to see. So basically, you know, Charles Robinson is accused of being bought out by Ric Flair. And he kind of admits to the fact that his relationship with Flair, but he quickly denies it. And so Natalya comes out and she gets her a piece, you know, Flair does this whole thing where he's going to take off the jacket and act like he's going to get all, get into, borderline whatever he did to Becky to Natalya. And Natalya says, screw that. I'm just slapping the total crap out of you and put him in a sharpshooter. And then Charlotte had to save her dad because he's crazy. And, hey, I thought the segment worked. It gets you to cheer for Natty. That's what you want. And then Stephanie makes it a submission match for Extreme Rules. And guess what? Ric Flair is banned from ringside, just like I said. So I thought this worked pretty well here.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, this all worked out where, you know, really Natalya looks good here by what she was saying. You know, everything was solid. When she slapped Charlotte, you know, knocked her out of the ring, you know, that was just the point there where you kind of wondered what was going to happen between her and Flair. So that led down that road. But I love the fact that so both the Flairs were assaulted. They come out and they meet Stephanie and she puts this match together. But, you know, in a way you kind of feel like that, you know, she's still playing that middle of the road gray area authority figure with them because her banning Ric Flair doesn't make a lot of sense for a heel authority. So you're still getting that gray area. She's still kind of giving props to Charlotte, which is kind of the heel side, but then taking away Rick, which is kind of the face side. So interesting stuff. I kind of like that. It makes sense with that storyline and, of course, the other one. So I think it's good stuff, and, you know, I think it'll be a really good match, hopefully. We'll get to see that submission match.
Hopefully they can work the kinks out of what they were doing yesterday at Payback and figure, you know, put this match on the map as one of the great matches that's going to kick us towards this new direction that I'm still waiting to kick into next gear. But this sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it does. And it also makes me wonder if Charles Robinson's going to be woven even deeper in this storyline as well.
Yeah, and then we get to the main event, which is something they set up previously in the show with AJ, Doc, and Carl talking, and then, you know, Doc and Carl basically telling AJ that he proved that he shouldn't be upset because he took Roman to the limit, and then Roman kind of comes in the middle, they have a square off, and basically AJ says, well, I'm going to take your title at Extreme Rules. And then Roman says, well, you know, how about you three against us three? Usos come out wearing the Captain America face paint, and there you go. Personally, I thought the main event was actually good. We got to see Anderson do that spine buster like Paul suggested. Still, I guess, not going to let him do anything that resembles any sort of gun stun at all, which kind of sucks. But I don't know why Gallows can't do the tree slam either. That's kind of weird. I thought this was good. It wasn't anything great. The most important thing is the post-match angle where they get into some sort of story-heavy things here with, you know, Anderson and Gallows are holding Reigns. They're trying to hit it. He wants AJ to hit him with a chair, but AJ relents because he's not that kind of guy. And so then the Usos come in and hit AJ with the chair. And then, you know, Roman starts fighting off Anderson and Gallows, and then AJ hits one of the Usos with a chair, and the only thing Roman sees is AJ hitting his family with a chair and knocking him down. So then Roman goes crazy and starts beating up AJ and power bombs him to the announce table. Now, this is great as far as a segment goes. The problem is the crowd, no reaction for Roman putting AJ through the table. It was very minimal, the reaction. So to me, this entire segment was fine as a segment. But I think the crowd itself is very confused as to who they're supposed to be rooting for. And this whole thing with sometimes AJ goes along with what Gallus and Anderson do. Sometimes Roman is totally heel. You know, it's just, I think it's really hurting your, you know, the crowd doesn't know who to invest in. You know, it's clearly the kids are still cheering for Roman. The adults are cheering against Roman. And they're cheering for Styles and whatever. But I feel like you would get bigger reactions and stuff like that if you had clearly defined lines here. And that's a problem when you have too much of these shades of gray that they're trying to do because they don't want to have Roman go one way or the other. Or Styles, for that matter. But, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that I kind of see where you're coming from here, Sean, because I think the same way. And I was kind of dumbfounded a little bit on this, too, because I don't know how I really do feel about it. You know, and if you may have to jog my memory a little bit here, Sean, but for I remember the Anderson and Gallows put the chairs into play when they get them in the ring to try to get AJ to use it, but they never actually use it, correct?
The what?
So Gallows and Anderson never actually use the chairs first, correct?
No, they give it to AJ and that's they tell AJ to use the chair and he doesn't use it.
Making sure I didn't miss anything. So that's where it leads me down this path of the fact that the Usos were the first ones to actually use the chair. You know, the other guys were threatening him, but never actually used it. But the Usos did, which once again, there's that whole gray area because of the fact that, you know, faces usually don't go around hitting people with chairs. And then, of course, that leads to the whole, you know, Reigns going into a just rage. So, I mean, I think this all works out in the end just because of the fact, you know, if you're sympathetic towards one side or the other, it matters to you. If you're an AJ fan, it matters to you because you want to see him get payback. If you're a Reigns fan, you're thrilled because those dastardly deeds that were being done to your guy were kind of paid back. So I think it's going to be weird as we continue down this path because they won't do what you said, Sean. They won't define those lines. They're leaving them a little too gray, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know if they – I think they know what they want out of AJ. I think AJ is the clear direction in this. I think they're still debating on Reigns now because clearly whatever they got out of Payback I think worked for them. And I don't know if they're going for a slow turn here because the Usos, I feel like – and this is just me reading, obviously. But it feels like they're sort of acting a bit more heelish here. They're the ones that use the chair. So what if that in turn gets Reigns to work more that way? Or maybe they're just, you know, they're all just pissed off at each other. Who knows? But it certainly feels like Reigns and the Usos here are working a bit more heelish than these other guys are.
Mm-hmm. See, and I look at it that same way, and I look at the fact that by the Usos using the chair, you know, I get where you're coming from, but it also makes me wonder, does AJ say, you know what, I'm tired of playing nice guy. It's time to get back to what I did, you know, back in the day in Japan in the Bullet Club. Maybe I need to join Gallows and Anderson.
No, but see, that's the thing with AJ and the Bullet Club, too. He was never the guy that that did any of that stuff. That The other guys around him did it. He just accepted it in the Bullet Club. He didn't do what he's doing in WWE. So it's sort of like almost a playoff of that where he's not going to do any of that stuff, but now he doesn't even want Anderson and Gallows to sort of do his dirty work for him. He wants to do it himself because he has something to prove here.
I just think it's, you know, the company you keep usually defines you.
Right.
So that's my thing. But you're right. You're completely right about that. And
that's the thing is everybody is acting sort of heel here except AJ. But then there becomes times where AJ sort of has to let Anderson and Gallows kind of do their thing, but then when it gets to a certain point, he's like, oh, wait, what am I doing here? You know, so that's what they're doing is they're actually doing a good job of keeping the intrigue of, okay, is AJ going to be the guy, like you said, Gary, that just says, okay, you know what, screw it. Me being nice is not winning me anything here. Or does he keep doing what he's doing and Roman just loses the plot or whatever, you know? So,
yeah. And, you know, kind of what Paul was alluding to, it makes sense because of the fact that we saw the way Reigns reacted, the extremes he went to. You know, let's play it this way as well. You know, we keep saying Roman Reigns is the next John Cena. At this point right now, it's not John Cena-esque to throw somebody through a table, to throw him to the barricade, to do any of those kind of things. John Cena is going to fight you, but he's going to try to fight you as clean as possible. And this, Roman Reigns let us get emotions, get away with him, and to do the things he did. So, I mean, that does lead you down that road of maybe him being more heel. So, I don't know. But anyway. Well, guys, I mean, we, you know, kind of discussed Raw, and I think we're going to give a rating. But before we give our rating, we got to introduce Mr. Glenn Smith, who is actually there in the arena live in St. Louis to check out this Monday Night Raw, man. Glenn, what did you think about the show?
First guy ask, how you doing? Ooh, sorry for the John Laurinaitis unfortunately, this is not an intentional impersonation. It's my actual voice from the show.
I'm sure you were screaming your head off saying, you know, Roman, Roman, you know.
Hell no, Bullet Club all the way, but baby.
I had to give you a hard time. So give us your thoughts, man. What was it like being there live? What was your favorite parts?
I will say the thing that was really surprising was the fact that I know he said that wasn't much of a reaction from the powerbomb through the table. There was a contingent of boos, like from I'd say majority of the floor seating. So I think that there may have been a muting involved, if you will. But there was definitely a reaction from where I was at.
Man, I mean, I could definitely see that. We know they play with the audio. It happens. It's harder to do it live, but, you know, who knows? They probably, you know.
Oh, they can't do that on Raw, though. Yeah. They can do that on the network. They can't do it on Raw.
Yeah. I didn't know about the delay.
Well, that's just kind of crazy. I mean, they're able to figure out how to control our emotions on the network, and, like, Raw's, like, the all is lost area for them. But there was a decent contention, I should say.
Of what?
Of booze. And but, like, I mean, I will say it wasn't as big a reaction as I expected. Like, I think more and more lately that the announcer table spot is just becoming natural. I mean, you're pretty much guaranteed a table spot every pay-per-view. Like, at least once on Raw. Like, in a week, it'll happen on a Raw or SmackDown. Like, every week, that you're pretty much guaranteed a table spot. I think WWE is kind of losing the fact that that is supposed to be the shock spot of the night. And I think it's just becoming too much passe now.
Mm-hmm. I could see your point on that. You know, I really have never put that much into it, but you're right. I think you're seeing it happen way too often for it to be something special. In fact, I just kind of come blasé to it because I just know, okay, another table spot, no big deal.
Exactly. I mean,
well, and they just did one last night too.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Exactly.
I figured that was the point, was him sort of getting the payback on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does kind of work in this part of the story, but just the way that things have been recently. I mean, what, you had one last week, you had Jericho putting Ambrose in the walls on the table. I think SmackDown may have featured an actual table spot. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Haven't watched it in a while, so...
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it either.
Did the Raw from now 2 weeks ago, didn't that feature some sort of table-based spot?
Possibly.
Yeah, I know they're happening more often, but I can't really tell you exactly when they're happening.
But you do kind of get the point where, like, we've been getting one on average once a week. I mean... Mm-hmm. It's been happening, like, since, like, right before WrestleMania, the week before. I mean, that's kind of when it really kicked off, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, you know, and hopefully they'll get away from doing that because it is happening way too often. Glenn, give us some of your other favorite moments of tonight, and some of the things you got a chance to see live.
Really kind of neat. So the area that I was sitting, like, kind of a timekeeper side, and so the area by where the steps were to go up, there was a line of chairs set up facing towards the crowd, and it was a bunch of, like, the ring crew and certain staff, and I actually, for a very little bit, got to talk with Doc Gaiman, the man that was referred to in the CM Punk interview. If you can really call it that, I mean, it's more or less a dredging, if you will. But I will say, like, whatever some disgruntled employees' like opinions are, I mean, he has a tough job. I mean. Like, sometimes telling guys to hey, let me just take care of that, and I'll get you back in there as fast as I can. I mean, That's still a tough job to do. I mean, even if there's a mistake, I mean, that does happen. But I mean, he was a very nice man, and I told him that for everything he does, like, love, respect, and he really appreciated that from me.
Great, that's awesome, man. That is really cool.
Also, got a selfie with sign guy choking me.
It's good stuff.
Sign guy's a cool guy. I mentioned he was waiting in line with us whenever I was going to one of the Evolve shows.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know what? So, what did you think? Give us your highlights of the night. Anything that you want to specifically talk about?
Highlight of the night, personally, two things. One that actually didn't make it onto the air, and one that possibly did. So, during one of the commercial breaks, they had signs of the arena, and the sign that I took the most pride in making, my Insane in the Membrane sign. It was featured. So that was one highlight, and the other highlight for me was also had a sign on it. I had a sign with me with BizKliz on it, and when AJ was in the corner right before Roman's music came out, had it up, Air Too Sweet, My Way. That was really awesome for me.
Oh.
I will say the low light. As much as as blasé as it was, I mean that the 8-man tag match. I mean, honestly, that was really, in all honesty, it was really boring. I mean, you really couldn't tell. I mean, the good part about watching Raw is, you can tell, when there's you know when the commercial breaks are, and but the match, the action in between, oh my, it was just boring. I mean, there's I kid you not, at least a good 90 seconds of I think it was Bubba having Kofi in a headlock, similar to the one that Kevin Owens does when he goes headlock master. But but everything else, I mean, I can't think of a really dumb moment per se. Mm-hmm. Also picked up a unicorn horn while I was there, and The Rock is definitely right. It does look it very, very similar to that of a llama-based phallus.
It is very true.
and even while holding it, just from the band part, oh my, it's scary similar at that point.
Yeah. Oof. Well, you know, try to not let people think it's that. You know, make sure you keep it on your head.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What did you? How loud did you yell for Titus O'Neil when he came out?
I was definitely I gave him a nice round of applause, just first on screen appearance for him. I mean, I kind of feel bad for the guy for the way things went down. I mean, 60 days. I mean, I do feel as if that was a bit excessive on their part. I do think some sort of corrective action was may have been needed. I think maybe a 30 day one and a fine would have taught the lesson and could have been much more respected. But I mean, 60 days, I do, 60 days off of television. 60 days plus, at least. I mean, it's a bit insane on WWE's part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a controversial situation. You know, fans, I think, have been upset about it. But I'm just glad he's back. That's what matters. You know, we'll hopefully get a chance to see him until he makes his decision to stay or go. So, well, Glenn, man, go ahead. What's up?
Yeah, I will say, I thought, during the Superstars taping, the very first match was Sandow versus Darren Young, and throughout that whole match, I mean, the crowd was really behind Sandow. Did quite a lot of heel 101, just kind of like in terms of inside the ring stuff, like not breaking a hold on the ropes till three or four, just kind of a lot of that. But like he did. But he was like a hero's welcome there, like when he came out.
Cool, man. I like to hear that. You know, Sandow's one of my favorites too. I think he's a great guy. I just wish he'd get, you know, his opportunity back on the main roster. You know, or on TV. He's on the main roster, back on TV. Huh?
Yeah, I think the Hogan thing just kind of unintentionally screwed up his career. I mean, in all honesty, I think they could have figured out something within 2 or 3 months of the whole Hogan scandal, because that's really what WWE thinks the fans' memory span lasts.
Yeah, very true. Well, Glenn, man, we are, you know, kind of running out of time here, but, you know, I just want to make sure you get any final thoughts you want to, any last words you want to say, man.
Oh, last words.
A rating, anything?
Never really thought of that, but arrivederci, ring bells, and all sorts of pops, whistles, and ballyhoo.
Yeah, and next time you go to a live event, I want that W2M sign, no one else's sign.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I mentioned this on Twitter, but time was running out and paint wasn't really cooperating with me. So yeah, I do promise at the very next live WWE event I attend, a W2M sign will be present.
Awesome, Glenn. Well, thanks again for joining us and giving us a live perspective on Monday Night Raw, man. And we will catch you down the road, man.
Not a problem. Adios.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we have to give a rating. We never gave a rating. So let's go ahead and throw a rating out there real quick. And Sean?
Sorry, I had to put my microphone on mute.
No, that's fine.
Well, I think a 7 is good. Most of the show was it was good. It addressed a lot of things from Payback. It, you had a really good ending of the show. Shane and Stephanie did not overwhelm the show either. They kind of added to segments even, and that's good. That's what you want out of, you know, Stephanie and Shane being there. You don't want them to be the show, just add to the show itself. I think that's a plus. We'll have to see how that's reflected, if at all, in anything that WWE uses as a measure, but yeah.
Yeah, I think overall, for me personally, I think the show had a lot of good qualities. We're getting progression and storylines, and it's good progression. There's nothing too out of the way silly or nothing just, you know, really blocking the progress of any of these storylines. So I think that's good. There's not a whole lot of filler. Everything that was involved in the show, for the most part, mattered, if you ask me personally. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, I would probably say for me a 7.5 would work, because it was a good show. And to me, maybe even a little bit above average, because it wasn't just blah. It had some good stuff involved. So I think a 7.5 works for me. And, of course, you know, we'll wait. Paul has not had an opportunity to actually watch the show. He's read all the stuff, everything that's happened, but he hasn't watched it. So maybe next Thursday night we'll get his points and maybe his rating on Monday Night Raw then. So, All right, guys. Well, we are going to jump over to some quick hits really quickly. We're going to kind of run through those. And then, of course, we'll do our special topic after that. But right now, guys, it's time for some wrestling news with some quick hits.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Okay, guys. Well, let's talk about the fact that Ryback has not been seen on TV since the show on Sunday. So we have to figure that out. Why? Why hasn't he been seen on TV? Why is he not there tonight? Well, it's because of the fact that he has asked WWE to send him home. He's having a contract dispute with him right now. And I think he's a little bit upset with the company for other reasons, not just money. And basically, he's going to be off TV till who knows when and maybe never come back because his contract is actually up this summer. So, I mean, what do you think about this, Paul? I mean, Ryback's been a guy you've kind of supported.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they can even this out. Ryback is a guy that they can definitely do something with. I think he's got all the tools that they really look for. And whenever he's treated seriously, he's gotten over. And you know, maybe they shouldn't be in this position anyways if they had done things right, but you know, here we are, and hopefully they can figure this out.
What do you think, Sean? I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he's put a lot of work into this, and it just doesn't seem like he's getting the payoff that he wants. We've already seen him talk about that a little bit after WrestleMania. Do you think he's just finally fed up and he's done, or will they work this out?
You know, you can, as we've seen with Dolph Ziggler, if you money can talk and solve a lot of issues, especially when it comes to being disgruntled with your job, and this is a job, not like much else, you know, much like anything else. So, you know, sorry, I'm having to deal with assholes in the group right this second. Which I don't know why that has been happening a lot lately. I'm going to have to start throwing the band hammer down that I don't like doing. But, you know, yeah. It's honestly, Ryback is, look, the dude is great. He's obviously smart. He's obviously got a set of balls on him for doing some of the stuff he does on Twitter, and the you know, the white belt that we talked about on Payback, that certainly shows that this guy is not afraid to go against the company or say something about the company right in their faces. The thing is, you have to wonder if he feels like he deserves more and that he's not going to get into that spot that he was almost in at one point. He could certainly go to, say, a TNA and maybe get over there. Or I don't know about anything else. But, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like the end of the road for me personally. I just don't know if WWE is going to care enough to keep him around. Yes, he is a talent. He's a guy that has something to offer. Kind of like Paul mentioned, he's got something to offer if you put him in the right situation. But they've not done it yet. I just don't know if they're willing to do it again later on down the road, and especially after some of the, I mean, not terrible comments, but the way he's kind of spoken out against WWE for not really using him in the correct way. I just don't know if they're going to be motivated to do anything positive with him. So I could kind of see him maybe finding another promotion or maybe a different career to get into, and I don't know. I hate saying that, but you know, I just don't think this is going to turn out very well unless WWE really, really has a plan for him and can put that out and make him, you know, look at their way. So, you know, some other things in the news, you know, we got Enzo Amore from Sunday night in his concussion situation. We got an update on that. What we're finding out is that he's going to be off TV for a while, probably around 3 weeks, and they're not going to allow him to do a Impact test until the Friday before the show Extreme Rules. So that's a big deal because of the fact that means it completely eliminates him from being anywhere close to TV before or even probably during Extreme Rules. It makes sense because they've already kind of announced the Vaudevillains versus New Day, but still at the same point, you kind of have to, you know, understand that this has got to happen this way, and they've got to do all the precautions that they can to make sure the concussions are taken care of the correct way. But, I mean, how do you feel about this, Sean? Do you think that, you know, this is a positive thing for him personally, or do you think this is going to hurt him at all?
Sorry, what were you asking me again?
Oh, we're talking about Enzo here and the fact that he's going to be out.
You know, we've seen this with the concussion thing. Every person adjusts concussions differently. Some guys, we've seen them be out for months. Some guys, we've seen them be out for a week. I do like the fact that they're letting him rest, and he's not going to be at Extreme Rules. If he's at Extreme Rules, he'll be at ringside for something. He won't be in a match. I would hope not have him wrestling 2 days after he's cleared. This isn't like when these guys have to get cleared the next week for a football game or whatever. I don't think it's going to hurt him. Enzo is a mouthpiece. That's really the crux of what he is. I mean, he's gotten better in the ring, but all he has to be is a hype man for Big Cass. And if they want to keep him out of the ring for longer than the 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, then I think that's good. Let him heal. Let him adjust to it. I mean, he did have the knee thing, but if this is his first concussion, that can affect you mentally, and he might need some time to adjust to that.
Yeah, definitely. And Paul, I mean, we all understand that this is for his health, and this is a good thing when it comes to that, but when it comes to Enzo and Kaz as the tag team and what they're doing, do you think this is going to be a big setback for them, or do you think they can hit the ground running once he's back healthy?
Paul?
Did we lose Paul? We may
no,
have
Mike is dumb. For Enzo, I mean, really important thing right now is until you're ready to get Enzo back in the ring, you just got to keep Big Cass relevant. And Enzo is a big part of the act, but he's not all of the act. And if you give Big Cass a chance to step out and shine, then hopefully you have the act come even stronger whenever Enzo comes back. Same like it did whenever he broke his leg. They've been through this before. I think Cass can more than hold his own for 3 or 4 weeks, you know?
I think you're correct on that. This is nothing like a broken bone or anything like that. But at the same point, they've got to be very careful. We've seen guys like Dolph Ziggler have multiple concussions. We saw how that affected his career and the fact that he was never really pushed to the moon because, guess what? They were always fearful he's going to hold the title again and get a concussion just like he did once before. I fear that that's what they're going to look at with Enzo Amore, and I hope it's not the case. I hope they allow them to do great things in the near future. That's a little bit of fear, though. I mean, because we've seen it happen before with this company. So, another piece of news that's kind of interesting, and actually it's more of a something that's kind of a historical in a way, if you want to look at it in that fashion. Natalya and Charlotte, they've both faced off against each other for more than one title, three in fact, the NXT title, the Divas title, and the Women's title now. So they're the only ones to do that. That is kind of cool. I think that's a really neat thing here. Paul, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, is this something that is going to be a – I mean, it's never going to be accomplished probably by anybody else because unless they've held the Divas title or fought in a match for the Divas title, it's going to be kind of hard to duplicate that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not for any of the new girls coming up will it be possible. So, I mean, hats off to them. It's a neat accomplishment. I think it certainly shows how much the WWE probably I don't want to say relies on them, but certainly Natalya has been relied on several times throughout her career. And, you know, Charlotte, I think maybe, less than 2 years, 3 years, already having done all this? That's pretty impressive. And a great, I think, statement about what the WWE wants to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. Sean, I mean, we were looking at this, and this is kind of a great for these two women because of the fact, you know, they've done this for a little while now. Charlotte's the youngest one here, and for her to accomplish something like that in brief time that she's actually been wrestling, I mean, I think that's great for her. And, of course, Natalya, she definitely deserves the accolades. So, that pretty much rounds out our quick hits for this week. We're going to jump into another topic. But it's going to be kind of separate from Quick Hits because of the fact this is an article that we actually found, and technically, I guess Sean found it. He was kind of reading up on some things, and this article refers to the fact that they say that casual fans and ratings don't matter. Now, Sean, I mean, do you want to kind of expound on this a little bit? Because, I mean, you're the one who kind of found this and was kind of reading up on it. If you're, I know your mics, their mic's on probably on mute right now because I don't hear you. So,
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I just, sorry, I'm having to deal with stuff here while we're doing this, which I shouldn't have to be doing. But, you know, this article is sort of kind of comparing, you know, we've talked about this before. It's not like anything we haven't talked about, but it does bring up, how much the casual audience really affects WWE now compared to what the casual audience used to do in, you know, say the times of Hogan or the Attitude Era or whatever, when we didn't have what we have today. That, you know, he sort of compares it to the casual audience is sort of putting over the top something now instead of necessarily being the entire reason why there's a rating or why there is a huge following of something or whatever. And then he also brings into question the ratings because they're sort of outdated as well, which we've talked about a lot, you know, that the Nielsen stuff is so antiquated at this point that, you know, WWE now uses Twitter ratings and, you know, the YouTube ratings, which I need to see if I can find those before we get done with this segment. For tonight, and I just I think it's interesting to show how the world has changed, how this is still something that Vince looks at a lot, and even though the ratings have been going down lately, you can argue that the television has been getting better, right? I mean, we've kind of all said that that we've enjoyed this run that WWE's been on since they've crowned this the new era. And it sort of feels that way, in a way. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Is it possibly a detriment that the casual fan has sort of lost its feel for WWE because they've been using more of this new talent that they don't know? Or is it meaning that we just have a bigger hardcore fan base? Or what do you think this is?
I think the point that the article is trying to make is that if you put on a quality product using what brought you to the dance, which is wrestling and telling good stories and cohesive stories and continually making each episode that maybe not must watch, but something enjoyable to watch, then your product will grow from there. And, you know, maybe the over-reliance on trying to appeal to a mass audience is sort of shooting WWE in the foot. And you could agree or disagree on that point, because I think, I mean, you know, this last month especially, you meet people of all types who are into wrestling. Some of them are much more casual in their viewing than we are, and that's perfectly okay. The antiquation of the old ratings, though, is an idea. I mean, I think that's the heart of the problem in WWE right now, is old guard versus new guard, and trying to understand what fans want versus what WWE wants to be, which is this massive corporation that, yes, it has wrestling, but it has all these other things. And in that wrestling show, you'll find links, you know, they'll link to all these other things that they do. So you get this big appeal. And I don't know. It clearly doesn't work all the time. Sometimes it fires right, and sometimes it doesn't. And I think, you know, you look at WrestleMania. When you can draw that many people to a building every year, I think is says something to the benefit of that idea, of that old school idea of ratings and all that stuff. But
yeah, there's lots of different factors here, and I think that, you know, when you're talking about the casual fan nowadays, I think for most things it's easier to follow something if you really want to follow it, and it's also easy to follow something casually and really do it casually and still get a lot of knowledge. Think about the fact with TV shows now, you got Netflix, you can catch up on Breaking Bad. You don't have to sit and wait every week. And a lot of the people that I know have not sat every week and sat there and watched that show. They watched it on Netflix and then they talked about it. You know, I'm still behind on finishing the last two seasons of Dexter, but I caught up and I watched Dexter for a little while, and I never once turned on an episode of Dexter when it was actually on its live run. Same with wrestling. I mean, I think with the fact that, you know, people don't have to sit down and watch Monday Night Raw anymore. Technically, they can get on YouTube. They can get on, you know, other places and find highlights. They can find things, understand the storylines, and catch up to a pay-per-view. You know, maybe there's probably people that watched Payback last night, didn't sit down and watch one Raw. They just watched, you know, things on YouTube to catch them up, and then they were good to go, and they were just as happy as the rest of us. So I think it's, you know, not the same as it once was. We've changed. We are instant gratification. Basically, that's the kind of society we are, instant gratification. That's what we're used to, which we know. And so it's not like the Attitude Era where, you know, you had to, you know, make sure you were sitting in your seat on Monday night, or you're not ever going to see that again. For a long time, you're going to depend on replays and things like that. Now it's all accessible anytime you want it. So ratings are no longer important here. All that matters is that, you know, social media is out there. As long as you're trending, as long as you have a lot of likes on Facebook, as long as people are buying merchandise, you're happy to go. And that's totally different than what we once saw. Paul, you bring up a good point. I mean, WrestleMania is a giant thing. I mean, it's something that the casual of casuals come to. People that don't even really watch wrestling even anymore and remember the 90s, they still come just because it's a spectacle. They want to see what the spectacle is all about. They know celebrities are going to be there, and they probably heard their favorite celebrity is going to be there, so they go on just for that reason. So there's lots of different factors here. And I could kind of get where the article is coming from on that, the fact that, you know, our society is so much different. The way people watch wrestling is so much different now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, there is – and this is what WWE is doing right now. With these – all these new talents are appealing to their hardcore audience. So, number one, the casual audience doesn't understand why there's so many people – on at once. I mean, look, we haven't even seen, other than the Battle Royal, we hadn't seen Apollo Crews in almost a week or two. I mean, so just for me, it's I can understand where the casual audience could be confused, but it's one of these hard things that WWE has right now, right? You have a super hardcore audience. This is also the same audience that has the network, so you can't just ignore them. Because it's been proven that the hardcore audience is the one that has the network here, mm-hmm. and that the casual audience are the fickle ones that will whenever we get the new quarterly update, I'm pretty sure that number for the network is going to be way lower than 1.8. So those casual people are going to be gone because WrestleMania is not around anymore, you know, and. There's a lot of people like them, like, you know, Chris, who was doing the video for us during the WrestleMania stuff. He asked me one time to watch WrestleMania for my network account, and then he hasn't cared since. That's just how he is. There's a lot of people like that. And the ones that do try to stick around after WrestleMania, they go, who the hell are all these people? And so they're not understanding that there's a thing called NXT on the network, and that you can watch that and find out where all these people are and that they come from other places and all that kind of stuff. And I applaud WWE for understanding that people do watch New Japan, even though it's sort of helping New Japan in a way and they have an issue with each other. But, you know, how long have we waited for them to acknowledge the fact that these guys come from other companies when they come up here, and that, you know, and it's sort of like this whole new world, this new era that WWE is talking about, and I think the casual fans are just kind of out of the loop a little bit, and it's going to either take them time to figure out things, or we are going to lose them, and it's going to become more of a hardcore fan base that watches, and so then WWE once again will have to figure out, okay, crap, do we risk losing more of the casual audience, and do we have to placate to them, or do we just go totally for our audience that we know is going to watch every week? And the thing is, you can't always just totally flat out ignore your casual audience. I know there's people that feel that way, but WWE's too big. They can't do that. They're owned by stockholders. You can't ever just go. You can't do what New Japan and ROH and TNA and all these other companies do, where they can just go, okay, we know what our fan base is, we know what they like, we're gonna do this. They can't do that because they have fans all over the globe, and if they only go to this one section of the IWC or whatever you want to call yourselves, they're missing out on a whole other spectrum of fans that they can have. And so this is that tug and pull that they have to do, and they're kind of going more towards our side right now. And we like the product that's out there, but the people that watch here and there may not like it, and so they're not tuning in as much with those ratings. And that's where you have to go, well, is that telling the whole story? You know? So, I mean, that it's interesting to take it in that way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's so many different factors like we kind of talked about. And I think it's, you know, a situation where all the money's at the end of the day is that the company's making money. And if that ever kind of slows down, you're going to see other changes happen. Right now, I don't think that, you know, the new era has been bad for them at all. Because let's just say we've had Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, those guys show up on this roster, the NXT roster, and of course the main roster, both have sold their shirts out multiple times. Their merchandise is selling. And that leads WWE to a point where they have to say, well, look, I mean, there's people that care. Maybe they are the hardcore audience. Maybe they're not casual, but they care enough to spend their money on these products. We've got to keep it going. We've got to make sure we use these guys, do things. And I think it's also another good thing in the fact that new isn't always bad. And if okay, let's just say it this way. If I hear that there's a show coming out and it's a whole new cast but the same show, I may jump into it because guess what? I mean, I'm just new with everybody else, whereas I'm not going to watch season 5 with a cast that I've never watched a single episode on. So I think this new group of guys coming in, I think people can jump back in and say, look, you know, I feel fresh. I think I can actually get to know these guys. I'm not the odd guy out here.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, to that point, too, when you have these guys that are the type of fans that we are, get behind, what's to say that you can't do something with them? Even if they're not that type of guy that appeals to the casual fan initially, if you have a nut like AJ Styles, if you have enough of, you know, people buying his shirt already, then try to make him more appealing. And I think that's what you're getting on Raw Weekly, is that this feud, it feels like it's focused on him and trying to branch him out and get these other people on the AJ Styles bandwagon so they can use him to make more money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're totally right on that. And, you know, I love the fact that we pointed this out before, but when we were all at WrestleMania, the New Day shirts were everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. All New Day merchandise. And that was in a very short time span of the New Day being around. The New Day had been around maybe a year at the most, maybe even less. I don't remember. But they were a group that you would never think of in the past that would sell that quickly. But no, they were the number one thing. And so it shows you that if you can get a new group together and you can get fans behind them, there's going to be other people that follow that trend and think it's a cool trend and do it. I mean, I don't know. I've never wanted to wear a unicorn headband, but I might, I guess, if I was young enough. I'm not young enough anymore. I can't do that without – well, first of all, I have a wife who would probably stab me in the face if I did it. But, you know –
with the unicorn horn.
Yes, with the unicorn horn.
She's that savage.
Yeah, she's like, you're not a kid anymore. But if I was younger, if I was Glenn's age, because Glenn's a young guy. I mean, that's cool. If I was his age again, I could do it and feel fun and have a great time. And I think that's important because they all feel, you know, in unity there, and it works, okay? So I think it's kind of an interesting situation. You know, people can get together and, like Paul was mentioning, the merchandise and how it's getting people to spread out and say, look, you know, hey, this is actually cool. It's good, and I think for me personally, wrestling's going in the right direction with this. We can be fresh. We don't have to keep talking about the same 10 wrestlers. I'm glad. I want it to be that way. I as much as I love the guys in the Attitude Era, I want to be done talking about them nonstop. I want new guys to talk about. I want somebody I can say, oh, do you remember back 5 years ago when this guy, when you remember 5 years ago when Enzo Amore and Kaz appeared on Raw? That was awesome. Let's talk about their history instead of talking about the Brothers of Destruction. You know, let's move on, guys. It's been a while. So, but, you know, I think this is a great topic. And, you know, we can get probably, you know, further into it. But I think we've kind of set kind of our piece on this. Had a lot of fun doing it. And this has been a fun episode. We've got a lot of great stuff that we've had to talk about. And really quickly, I just want to mention this just before we get out of the show. Want to appreciate everybody on our Facebook group. You know, you guys are awesome. We reached 1,000 this week. But Sean's dealing with a situation right now, which we don't want to deal with. And the situation is things are getting a little heated. Maybe people are just, you know, making comments. We just want to be mindful. Please, if you're making comments on the page, make sure that it's positive. I don't care. You can talk about how much you hate Roman Reigns, all that kind of stuff. Talk about that. Please don't attack each other. There's no reason for that. Let's just be adult here. Attacking other people doesn't help anyone. I don't care if you say the worst things about Zack Ryder or anybody like that. That's entertainment. Let's just don't hurt each other. There's no reason for that. And besides that, guys, we are going to get out of here. We definitely appreciate you guys once again. Come check us out this Thursday night. We've got a big one for you. Not only are we going to talk about all that includes Lucha Underground, TNA Impact, but we're also going to jump into some other things. Like we're going to actually do a review on Don Taku. I think that's pretty much it on that. But before we get out of here, I think we forgot one thing, guys. We didn't talk Ring of Honor. Paul, is there some new things on Ring of Honor?
So Ring of Honor is still showing Honor Rising stuff, which is fine because this Sunday is Global Wars, which I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark and say we're going to do a preview on that this Thursday.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
So what are we going to do with that? Because unless this credit card comes in that I ordered, I don't have money to...
Well, we are going to figure that out, Sean. Yes. We will take care of that, and we will work that out. But we're going to definitely do the preview, and I think we'll all watch the show. So we'll make sure all of us get a chance to watch it. It'll be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to Global Wars. It's great every year. Yeah, definitely come check out. So we got a big show Thursday, guys. You don't want to miss it. Not only are we talking, you know.
Which means also we would cover that on the Monday show. We won't be doing some kind of special for that Sunday or anything. Just let people know.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Sean. So come check that out, and we've got a lot of great stuff coming your way. So besides that, I guess, Sean, you know, we got the W2M Network. Anything special that you want to tell the people about?
Well, in just a little bit here, maybe an hour or so, we will be doing our team grades for the NFL draft. It's all over. Now we'll be looking at everybody's draft, what we thought, who did the best, who did the worst. Who has the most potential, all that kind of stuff. And then, we'll be looking into getting in those OTAs and training camps. And before you know it, Gary, it'll be football season again.
Yeah, I'm ready already.
And hopefully we'll be adding another football-centric podcast to the network pretty soon after that. And, I mean, everything else is kind of there's new – all the other wrestling podcasts are kind of old at this point because they're previewing Payback. So you'll have to wait until the weekend to get, Randall and the Running Wild guys' thoughts on what they thought about Payback and Raw and all that stuff. And and then we'll have a Video Games to the Max tomorrow. It'll be me and Daniel because Mark had his tonsils pulled. So he won't be able to talk for a bit.
So. Yeah. Daniel Anderson's a great guy. I can't wait to hear that podcast. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, all right, guys. Well, that wraps us up for tonight. We definitely appreciate everybody listening, and we will catch you guys on down the road on Thursday night. Of course, Friday morning on the download. If you're not, basically wide awake, 12 o'clock at night, come check us out on the download on Friday morning. Anyway, always remember, guys, if you're not living life to the max.
You're not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
Later.
You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.